This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In the U.S.'s long-running conflict in Afghanistan, Vermont Guard soldiers and airmen have been deployed to the country multiple times. Last week, when President Trump announced a troop increase in Afghanistan, it came as no surprise to Adjutant General Stephen Cray. The Major General came to our studios yesterday to talk about how the troop increase might affect the men and women who serve in the Vermont Guard.
The conversation about what's going to be the new strategy in Afghanistan has sort of been on everybody's mind, I think, especially from the military's perspective, if there was going to be any change. Because we had been hearing that there could be a change, perhaps more men and women, you know, soldiers, military personnel actually on the ground there doing the mission. Because we have a brigade, as you know, that's watching this intently, thinking that, well, any sort of announcement that comes from the White House could certainly affect Vermont. I don't think it was necessarily, to me, it wasn't necessarily a surprise that there would be an increase in the troop strength in Afghanistan, because, again, it had been sort of hinted at for a while. And we're sort of just waiting to see how this is going to play out. Not necessarily, you know, we had the president's message. We'll see how this plays out with Congress. And then certainly our high-level, you know, bosses, whether it's in the Army or the Air Force, to see how this could affect us here in Vermont.
Now, I know you and your colleagues don't like to get political, and I'm not going to ask you a question about politics. But to the political strategy of putting a number on a troop increase or a deadline, does not having an exact number and not having a withdrawal deadline impact the way you operate or the way you prepare?
I don't think so, because the plans are being drafted by the Department of Defense, you know, based on a strategy. We'll have a good indication as this planning continues, because it's several years out that they're planning on right now, especially when it gets to the National Guard. For the active component, maybe a little bit closer in, you know, they could be affected, you know, within months. For the National Guard, it's mostly, you know, years out, especially for the Army National Guard. So as these plans develop, I think we'll get a really good indication about, you know, specific numbers and how many they will want to add and to match a strategy, if you will.
Given that now Vermonters can reasonably expect that there will be a deployment in 2019 or at some point thereafter, and can reasonably surmise that it could be in Afghanistan, what generally happens with recruitment in these couple of years now building up to a deployment, both in terms of the strategy for recruitment when you're already trying to build that unit, but also in whether people sign up or not?
So the last deployment, the large last deployment, was in 2010. We did have soldiers that joined the unit in the years prior to leading up, knowing that there was going to be a deployment. There is a demographic out there that joined the military to deploy for a host of reasons, the benefits, and, you know, some folks are looking for an assignment, a job that time, and a lot of it has to do with patriotism as well. I think that we'll see a certain bump, I think, in recruitment for a deployment. Usually, yeah, here in Vermont, people are, you know, they want to serve and they see that this is an avenue for them to serve. I think that they'll, as far as folks joining, you know, off the, you know, out of high school and whatnot that want to do that, and maybe not heading right off to college or, you know, I don't have a job, or saying, hey, this is something I could do, serve the country, serve with an historical unit, you know, get some experience, that kind of thing.
The state of Vermont, as a state government and as a state culture, has a lot of protections in place for people regardless of their religion, their gender, their sexual orientation, and even their gender identity. President Trump recently said he wanted to institute a ban on transgendered people in the military, and now he's taken steps to make that happen. What's your position on that?
You know, the Vermont National Guard has, you know, we have a culture of dignity and respect. We have to. I mean, we're relying on soldiers and airmen that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us that want to serve this country and are proud to do so. And so we need to keep that unit cohesiveness. So we're building that culture within our own organization. Obviously, what happens at the national level is you know, we're directed to do, and there's regulations and policies that we put in place, and we'll follow them, obviously. And our folks, I think, are savvy enough to know that, again, the folks that they are serving with right now needed to be treated with that dignity and respect. And we really have no room in our organization to do anything but that.
That's a dodge. I mean, in the sense that I know that every time we've interviewed you or your predecessors, it is really difficult for you to be able to speak about politics, and you don't want to, and that's not the way the military works. But there are times when, you know, when you must feel like something really impacts the people who serve under you, and you either think that's the right thing or the wrong thing. And we're at a point in this conversation where, you know, the president has stated, this is my objective. And there seems to be a lot of disagreement or debate within the military about whether that's the right strategy and the right policy or not. Is this a time when you can come out and say, either I agree with it or I disagree with it?
I think it's clear to those in the military that we absolutely have to treat people correctly, and we absolutely
need
that.
I don't know
that.
What that means when it comes to transgendered soldiers.
It's it's a difficult thing, right? Because we are in the military, we're not political, we cannot do what is against any regulation or policy. The Joint Chiefs has stated so that, hey, we're going to continue this current policy until a new policy is in place. And that's what we're doing right now. And anyone that's serving in our organization knows that we are going to continue to treat them with the respect that they deserve. And we'll do that. And then when the time comes where the policy is enacted and we're told to do this, just like an order, then we're going to have to do that. And the way we do it, I think we can control that message, I think, internally. But as far as, you know, whatever that regulation or policy is, that's what we're going to have to follow. And that's what we'll do. And that's what our soldiers will do. But we spent a lot of time talking, and we're not afraid to have the conversation. I guess that's the other piece of it, is if it would be different if we were just not talking about it. But we are, as we have talked about sexual assaults and other cultural things that our society, not just the military, our society is grappling with. We're just a microcosm of that. And, you know, we're trying to do the best that we can, but we can't break the law, and we can't. So are we perfect? No, absolutely not. But again, we're not afraid to have the conversation.
And I want to go back. When I said that's a dodge, I don't mean you're dodging me because, you know, you don't want to answer. So I that was a bad choice of words. I don't mean a dodge like, come on, you can say it. But it is difficult to know, you know, what you're actually thinking, and, you know, how this impacts soldiers and airmen and the Vermont Guard. And when you say you're having those conversations, where do those conversations occur? What do they look like?
So we have some folks within our organization that, you know, whether it's in our diversity groups or whether it's in our, you know, response coordinators and equal opportunity and those kinds of folks, have programs where we have, you know, within right down to the unit level, so individual soldier level, airman level, to have that conversation about, okay, so what does this mean? How do we do this? Because it is a conversation that needs to happen at the lowest level. And then, you know, have the dialogue back, okay, so how are we gonna deal with this, and how are we gonna make this so that the unit can continue to function within the guidelines that we're given. So I don't take offense to the dodge comment. I don't, because it's a difficult position for all of the military to be in necessarily. I mean, we know how to follow orders very well. And the policies, the regulations are the regulations, and then our leaders within the organization are empowered to do the right thing for their individual units. They know their people. You know, they know them way better than I do, and how to make that best work within that organization. I think that's probably the best that we can do. I hope folks feel like they can serve in the Vermont National Guard and are empowered to be who they are, and also feel like they have that respect from their other units, that this is someplace I can serve with.
Are there individuals in the Air Guard or the Army Guard who will be affected by the transgender ban that you know of in Vermont?
I don't know them specifically, but I would say that I would have to guess that yes, I'm sure there are. I don't know them specifically, and that's okay. I just hope that they are you know, they can talk to the folks that are in their units, and that we can have that, and we can have the conversation, and they can make informed decisions on, you know, whether they want to continue to serve or not. But I think it's still a little bit too early, because I don't know that the policies are really drafted yet or implemented yet to know exactly what your options are.
Would it even come down to things like how do you get a discharge? You know, what does that discharge look like?
Could be, yeah. I mean, I think it is technical, because we were already going down the road on how to integrate transgender. You know, I mean, we were doing briefings and everything. So, you know, so now how much of that's going to be reversed and changed is still unclear.
Well, I appreciate you having a conversation with us, and I look forward to more conversations with you and with other members of the Guard as you get closer to a potential deployment in 2019.
Absolutely.
General Cray, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks.
Vermont Guard Adjutant General Stephen Cray. He also told me he doesn't expect the Guard to be called up to help flooding in Texas, but would certainly be ready to help out if necessary.